everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I'm giving you a quick shot of Romance Author Spotlight Edition. On this Author Spotlight, I'm joined by author Allie Sampertz. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Allie Sampertz is a romance writer, book lover, and high school English teacher. She was voted Funniest Teacher of the Year for 2023 and 2025 by her students, which is probably her highest honor to date. She fuels her writing with a ton of coffee in her free time. She's also a runner and enjoys knitting and sewing. She lives in the Chicago suburbs with her husband, two kids, and their dogs. Well, before we start and chat about not a strong enough word, let's get to know you a little bit. So, English
Okay.
major, English teacher. I'm assuming you have always been a lifelong writer. But what?
Yeah.
Well, because most people who are teaching English, they enjoyed writing, not just the reading
side. Yeah, I did. I did enjoy writing. I guess I kind of was more of a reader, okay. I think, than a writer. But like I dabbled in writing. Like I was a blogger for a while, and okay. I wrote like op-eds. So I did like the nonfiction stuff.
Okay.
And then I took a break. Yeah. So like I haven't been writing consistently till recently, but.
So what made you write that first novel?
It was always something I wanted to do.
Okay.
Right. Like it was always something that was in the back of my mind. Like I could probably write a book. Mm-hmm. And then I guess I was just kind of, I don't know, like waiting. It sounds really weird, but like waiting for permission to do it.
Mm-hmm. It's not
do you
weird
know what
at
I mean?
All.
Like,
no, that's totally valid because you're not the only one.
Yeah. And I was teaching and I have two kids. And so my life was full and busy and wonderful and, you know, all of these things. And, but like always in the back of my mind, I was like, I think I could probably write a book. And then I like so many people during COVID, I fell in love with the romance genre.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I definitely want to do this. Like, cause it's just so fun.
So you're a late to romance reader.
A little bit. Yeah. Well, my
like
mom
you dabbled.
Read, like, the romance and I read them when she would like leave them around the house when I was a kid.
Yeah,
I feel like
same.
this is a common story. Yeah.
It is, yes.
Like she would get the Fabio
Well, did she get
covers.
like the box subscription? Because that's what my mom did. She like we would get a box every month of like five or six Harlequin books, and so we had honestly, she still has them in the attic where because my sister lives in the house we grew up in, and there are probably thousands of romance books in
I bet they're
maybe
worth a
not thousands,
lot.
I don't know, maybe
Maybe.
they're like old school like.
Those
From
covers are like collectible.
But there's
Yeah.
so many, but I have read a good chunk of those
Like I
much
read them in
earlier than I should
secret.
have. Oh,
Yeah,
maybe.
right.
I would sit in the bottom of my closet, like I don't know why my closet, because I could just shut the door of my room, but it's like having
Yes.
that extra like, no, I would sit in the bottom of my closet and read them.
No, because you could hear somebody come in the room and you were in the closet. Like,
Exactly.
same.
Because I mean, I was, but she never told me. I know she had to know that I was reading them because, like,
Oh,
she would
moms always
like
know.
toilet paper as her bookmark because she was not a dog ear. She did not dog ear her pages, but
Yeah.
sometimes they would be moved, but she never said anything. So
She knew.
she totally knew.
She knew.
So, what made you publish the first book? Like, you got the permission to write it. What
Yeah.
made you publish it?
Like I gave myself the permission to write it, I guess is probably the most accurate description. But I like, I mean, I'm a teacher, I'm a runner, like I'm really goal oriented. And so once I wrote it, I was like, well, somebody has to read it, right? Like, it can't just be for me. I know there are a lot of people that have drafts of books like in a drawer somewhere,
That
but
never,
that never see the light of day. But that's not me. I was, God, how old was I? Like 38 at the time. And so I was like, well, I'm not getting any younger.
Yeah.
So if I want to do this, maybe it was a little bit of a midlife thing. I don't know. But I was like, well, if I'm going to do this, I better do it. And I looked into querying agents and I looked into like traditional publishing and indie publishing. And I was like, indie publishing sounds cool. Like, because I wasn't going to quit teaching.
Yeah.
So it was always going to kind of be
A
a
hobby.
side gig. I hate to say hobby because that feels diminutive, but
Right.
like it was a like a side hustle, I guess.
Which also isn't the best wording for it,
which
but
also isn't the best wording.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's a it's I have two careers.
It's like
Right
passion
now
career.
it's a passion career, and I guess teaching is also kind of a passion career, but I've been doing it for 20 years, so it's like Like I know what I'm doing there. This was something new, you know, and
Mm-hmm.
exciting. And I'm a Gemini, so I love like just new and exciting. Like just give me all the new things. And so I just was like, you know what? I'll indie publish it. Like why not? Let's see what happens. And that kind of took off a little bit. And I got my agent, and then I just kept writing books because it was fun, and publishing them was fun. Like the whole experience, every piece of it is so different, right? Like writing a book is great, but then when you publish it, you know, you have to get it out there, you have to market it, you have to like put it in front of people. And as a blogger and op-ed writer, like I was very familiar with like pitching myself and my work. And so I was like, oh, I'm just gonna do that again. So I did, and that was fun and exciting when people would like read it and love it and want more. And you know, so yeah, I just kept going. And then I wrote Not a Strong Enough Word, and that was picked up by Page and Vine.
So, are there any writing rituals or habits that you have to help you stay focused? Because between work and kids, like it's probably hard to find time to focus on writing.
I actually think that helps because for me, because if I have 10 minutes, I'm going to use it, you know. But when I have 10 minutes, it's like the most random 10 minutes. It's not like I can't like light a candle and like, you know, set the mood music or whatever. Like, I'm like, I have 10 minutes. I'm going to get as many words written as I can. Sometimes it's in the car when my daughter is at dance practice. Sometimes it's like boiling water for pasta. Sometimes it's, you know, but I think it's sort of inadvertently like writers talk a lot about doing writing sprints where they set a timer for, you know, 20 minutes or whatever. And so I'm like, well, this is my sprint. I'm going to do it. And then, yeah, so I wish I could have like a like a
Like a block of
ritual.
time,
Yeah. And sometimes I get that. Like if I really need to finish something, or if I have, you know, recently I've had more structured deadlines because of the traditional publishing. My husband's also a teacher, so like
Oh, so
it
you
is
both have
helpful.
summers off, so
We
there's
both have
that.
summers off. Yeah, and we both have like similar time. Like, you know, we both get home at the same time. You know, he's not working weekends, like so
The
it's
schedule like
helpful.
is very
Yeah.
like helpful for like the fact that like if you have to do this, it's not like he could be stuck at the office for another like 3 hours that you weren't
Right.
expecting.
Right. Yeah. And I mean sometimes stuff like that happens, but
It's not
not
as often,
often. Yeah. So it is helpful that we have a very good, we're a very well-oiled machine over here. Like we have a very good system. And if I say, you know, like I'll have to plan ahead sometimes and be like, okay, on Friday I have to finish this chapter. And he's like, okay, like, you know, right now he's with the kids at the park. So I'm like, I need them to not be making noise while I'm recording this. So that is very helpful. But most of the time, it's either like late at night when everybody's asleep, or just in like
Those like
stolen
10, 15 minute
moments.
increments where you're like, oh, I'm sitting here waiting. Like, so this morning, since my kids were at different places and one was getting a ride, like I sat in my car and worked while I was waiting for him to get to where I was because she was in the pool at her practice. And it's like I had that time frame. I just like moved my car seat back because I didn't feel like getting out of the car. And I'm like, I'll just do like what my edits that I have to do for this author here, and then we'll just chauffeur everybody around. See what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, as a working parent, like you work when you can.
Yeah, it's like not glamorous, but it's
It's.
fun. And I think I'm more productive because of it. Because if I had 3 hours, and I often do sometimes have 3 hours, I don't use all three of
Well,
them,
it's hard
you
to stay
know?
focused sometimes, I'm
Yeah.
sure. Well, it's
Yeah.
funny. So Krista Sandor, who is a rom-com author, and we've been friends for a couple of years, she was like one of her books, like for some reason, she's like, I can only write when I'm in my car. Like there was just something of, so she would sit in
Just the
her car.
flow.
The flow would
Yeah.
always happen. So she would sit in her car in her garage because
Yes.
she's like, that's where the flow is happening. So she's
Hey,
like, it
you
didn't
can't fight
matter if I
it.
was driving, like if I had to sit and wait for one of the kids, like she's like, there was something about the car for that book. And she's like, and so we worked with it.
You can't fight it. You can't fight it. Sometimes, like, it just, you get in that flow state and you, like, whatever works, you're like, I have to finish this. And so it's gonna work. Like, I'm gonna make it work. So, yeah.
When you're writing your stories, do you plan them out or are you a pantser?
Like, I'm a planter,
You're a little
you
mix
know?
of
Like,
both.
I do have an out, line, but
ish.
it's not like, yeah, it's like it's I have like the emotional beats outlined. I don't ever do chapter outlines because I'm a very, like I said, I'm a very goal-oriented person, and so if I have to adjust the goal in the middle, which I often
Yeah.
do, I get really like frustrated with that. So I am more of like, I know, like I have their, you know, the opening scene planned. I have their meet cute planned. I have
Right.
their like the conflict, the third act conflict planned. I have the ending planned. And
Okay.
then kind of in the middle there, I'm like just kind of getting there however the characters feel like they want to. I just work here.
Now, did your structure have to change a little bit being trad? Because I know, like, a lot of times when you pitch a book, you have to have like a really decent, like, meat of the story type of thing to query. So
Yeah.
did it have to adapt a little?
No.
Oh, that's nice.
And I don't know how it would be with like a fully trad series, but Not a Strong Enough Word was published indie first.
Okay.
So
Oh,
when
and then
they
they
picked
picked
it
it
up,
up. Okay.
when they picked it up, they were like, "Well, we would just really like it." So they just gave it a like a quick proofread, and just sent it out.
Well, there you
It was
go.
done.
That's kind of nice,
So
though.
it was really nice, and I really appreciated that. And I'm sure we'll talk about this more, but this was like the book of my soul. So like when they were like, "We really like this story," I was like, "Done, signed." Like I was worried, you know, like any author probably would worry, that a trad publisher would change a lot of their story or take some of the heart out of it. And they didn't do that. They didn't take anything out of it. They loved
Right.
it the way it was, and that really resonated with me. And made me want to sign with them because I just was really excited that they loved the story that I loved so much.
Right.
Then when they signed it, they asked if I had more in a series, and I was like, "Of course I do." I didn't have a plan for that, so I was like, "Yeah, give me a few hours, and I'll type something up for you." And I was like, frantically, like I knew what characters would come next if I were going to make it into a series,
Right.
but I didn't have their stories fully fleshed out, so I did. That was kind of a frantic. It did feel like being in a movie. Like I
Yeah.
was like, "Oh, I'm doing this thing that like movie writers do." You know, I'm like frantically plotting out a story. That was fun. So I did that. And some things changed a little bit as I was writing those two, but not very much. Actually, I feel like that was helpful to have maybe a more solid plan
Right.
going into those two books because they wrote a lot. I wrote them a lot faster. Because I had a plan.
So did you not originally, like, were you not originally going to extend this series at all, or was it just kind of as it went, like maybe going back to it?
So like I said, this book was the book of my soul. It
Right.
was highly emotional. I'm used to writing more, like I don't want to call them rom-coms, but they're like
Just
rom-com adjacent. Like they're
like more
lighter.
just contemporary without a lot of angst in them.
Yeah. And so I knew that if I was going to continue the series that I had to match the
The
angst, like the
level.
emotional level, and I was so exhausted after I had finished like immediately finished writing this in like it was like February 2025. And so I just was like, I'm going to write the series, but I have to wait a
You need to
minute because I was
emotionally and mentally like reset.
Yeah. So it was nice because when I signed with Page and Vine, there wasn't like an immediate deadline. I had some time to like sit with book
Wiggle room
two.
is always a nice thing.
I had no time to sit with book three, but that's okay because I was ready for it. Like I had been thinking about it the whole time and I had planned it. And I like you know, sometimes when you know it's coming, you can kind of prepare yourself for it. So I was prepared to do it. And so that was fine. But yeah, I had always planned on extending the series.
Wasn't sure when you were getting back to it.
I needed like a mental break. Yeah.
So when you're writing your stories, how do you balance the emotional relationship and the romantic relationship with the story itself?
Like plot. That's hard for me. It's a hard thing because I think especially in contemporary romance, like the plot is fun, right? Like plot is obviously necessary. You don't want nothing to happen besides romance.
I mean, sometimes it's okay,
But
but
right, but like I'm not writing romantic suspense. I'm not writing fantasy where like battles and kidnapping and you know, like I'm not doing that as yet. Maybe never say never, but I'm not
Right.
doing that yet. And so the plot has to, I feel like, has to come second, like a close second. I don't want people to hear this and be like, oh, there's no plot. I'm not reading it. There is plot, but
No,
like,
but let me interrupt it. But that's one thing
yeah.
I love about these is because everybody's process is different. Everybody like looks at like some people start with their characters and they fully flesh out their characters before they even worry about like the plot or anything like that. They're like, the hero is this and the heroine is this, and this is how I'm going to make their stories. But then I'm going to add in like the elements of everything. So saying it
Yeah.
that way, you're not wrong. So like,
No, I know. I
everybody
know.
is so different in their
It's
process. So if you
Yeah.
create the character's
That's me,
romantic
though.
relationship that and then add the plot in afterwards, like that is just your process.
Yeah, and I think like when I said I have the emotional beats planned, like that's kind of what I meant. Like the characters are fully fleshed out, right? I have their backstories, I have their histories, I have their childhood trauma. Like I've got everything like mapped out, planned out, typed out. Highlighted, color coded, because I'm a little type A that way. But like, I have all of that. But then the plot kind of comes in where I'm like, oh, what if he did this? Or what if, this, because I do have a couple of like villain adjacent characters in these. So like, what if this guy came in and said this? And then like, how would this character react? And how, and so that's sort of like the pantser part of it where I kind of like, I like to call it like improv writing, like the yes and. Like if something pops in my head and I'm like, oh, what if he said this? Yes, he does. And what? And then what? And so like that's actually the most fun part of it. But yeah, the emotional arc is there from the start, and that is like planned, to the minute, I guess.
So let's talk not a strong enough word. So this is the story of Scarlett and Ryan, and it's heavy. Like it is
Yeah.
heavy on a lot of things. And it's one of those stories. So this is kind of off base, but I got some like health news on Monday that was not the best. And so it's like,
Yeah.
and usually I read the book like the week that I do the spotlight because it's one of those things where it's fresh in my mind. I don't have to worry about it. And like honestly, it was a tough read to get through because I have experienced this late term, like very late term. And so it was like one of those stories where I was like, I don't know if I can finish this week because I'm already like in a mental spiral. But it was so emotionally fraught, but also emotionally like welcomed. Like the therapy side, the depression side, the realistic like reactions to what happens. Like it just was so real and rough, but in a good way. You say in your author's note, like this is very near and dear to your heart because of like your experiences. Was it really hard to get these words on the page at times?
Hard is maybe the wrong word, but I don't know what the right word is. Like, was it easy? No. But it was, I had to do it.
Therapeutic.
I was compelled to do it almost. Like, like I said, I have their emotional arcs planned out from the start. I picked up Scarlett's story and looked at it every single possible way I could to avoid writing what I had to write, right? So like I was like sitting with my husband and I was like, I don't want to write about this. Like, I don't want to write about this. I don't want to do it. And he's like, so figure out something else. Like, like it's that easy. And I'm like, but I can't. Like,
You're like, but
it's
I
her
need to tell
story.
her story
That's
in this
her
way.
story. Yeah. And her story is not my story. It's very different, but it was still, there's aspects of it that are similar, right? The burnout, the questioning whether or not like this life is for me anymore. Not like, oh my God, are you gonna edit those? I'm
No, I
sorry.
don't add these.
Oh, okay. Not life, not living, but like this, like
Her
teaching,
author
right? Or this,
journey, like
the
her
author journey, like
journey,
the
like her
career.
occupation journey.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. Actually, that's why we don't edit them, because I love these like kinds of like real time like reaction type things.
Speaking, someone told me once that speaking is a first draft, and I have taken that to heart. Like, yep, that was a first draft thought. Like, I
I
have to edit
mean,
that thought before I say it. So, like, my career, right? Like, I questioned if my career was for me.
right.
Part of that is maybe why I even started writing a book in the first place, that I was like craving something different
Right.
from what I had experienced. Because, like, when you experience depression, anxiety, burnout, like those. I don't want to get like too technical, but I've been in a lot of therapy. So like, those neural pathways that you develop and like you keep doing the same thing over and over and it keeps giving you the same outcome, and so Scarlett walking away from that, like, even though I don't think she thinks that that's strength in the book, I think it is, right? That she had the strength to say no more and she didn't know how to fix it at the time. And like get back to the life she wanted, but she knew that this wasn't it. And if she kept going, it was going to hurt her in some way, right? And so that strength that Scarlett has to walk away from that strength I probably will never have, right? To like say, I'm done with this, whatever, this career or whatever, and walk away from it. I don't know that I would have the strength. I mean, I guess it's probably different when you're making a ton of money already, like she was. She had a
Well,
little bit of a safety net, but it's still, but the money, it wasn't about the money for her. It was about the passion, and she had to change something.
Well, and the story follows Scarlett. So, like, she is an author. Like, her life kind of imploded because of things that happened. And it's one of those things where it is 5 years later since things just kind of blew up personally and professionally. And she, in these 5 years, like, she has went through tons of therapy. She has went through a lot of healing, and she's kind of thrown back into this situation with which spirals her. But it's such a valid thing, because you, like, when you return to something that was such a big part of your life, and it kind of like your life itself blew up, and therefore everything else around you blew up, and your career blew up, and not in the best way because of all the things that happened. And I know I'm being kind of vague, but like, you just follow along with me, people, because you know I like to vague talk. But it's just Scarlett's journey is all about relearning balance and healing and trusting the therapy that she's gone through, and trusting that the couple of people that she still has surrounding her really are there for her. And Ryan doesn't always go about it in the right way, because he wants to help, but he also is not fully listening and seeing like the detrimental side to it for her. But as like his journey is, like, he sees and learns what happened 5 years ago and what was kind of the catalyst for the blow up and the disappearing and all those things. And he is starting to learn like what he can and can't do for Scarlett. And he's not meant to fix her, but enhance what she needs.
I think that's the thing about Ryan, is that Ryan is like the character that I needed Scarlett to have, right? That, like, because this is Scarlett's story. Like, let's be real.
It
This
is
is
very,
Scarlett's
very
story.
much Scarlett's story.
And Ryan is not like a supporting character. He's very much the male main character, but his journey is learning, like you said, how to support her. And I think the thing about like experiencing that kind of, I guess, like trauma,
Trauma is a
is
great word for it.
that like people, I think, want to help, but sometimes the way that they try to help is by like ignoring that it happened. And I think this is any kind of trauma, right? Like they just kind of want to like, okay, well, things are better now, and we're gonna move on and things are gonna be great, where you having experienced that are sitting here going, I can't think about anything else. There's nothing else that I can think about. And for 5 years, Scarlett has sat with this on her own, with nothing to do except think about it and try to heal. And that's also not really healing. She has to realize that too, that she needs people around her to like help her. I don't want to say move on, but like
Well, it's not moving
process.
on, like, 'cause you don't ever move on from that, but it's like
Right.
adapt, create. I've always liked to say it's our new normal. Like, we had this life, and now we have a new normal, and like, we will never go back to the old. It is where we go from here.
Exactly. And I think the thing about Ryan that I love so much, and that makes him so swoony, in my opinion, is that he doesn't ignore it, even if he's wrong. And I think people try to, I don't want to say ignore that trauma, but they don't want to talk about it because they don't want to say the wrong thing,
Yeah,
right? Like it
which
comes
lots of
from a
people
good
do.
place. Yeah, a lot of people do. And it comes from a good place, right? It's frustrating when you're the one experiencing it and all you want to do is like have somebody to talk to, but like you, the people around you like want to care for you and they don't want to like trigger you again or they don't want to say the wrong thing. But Ryan, bless his heart, says things that are maybe wrong, but at least he's there. Like at least he's saying them and he's
Well,
trying to understand.
and with Ryan, though, he says he might say the wrong things, but he says them in the right way, which again seems very, because there are times when like you experience like and you like especially like for me, like after the loss, like there were people that said things and like they were, it was not, it wasn't condescending, but it was oh so insincere in some ways. And like with Ryan's character, like he's very sincere in the way he's saying things because he thinks it's the right thing to say. And so it's like you can't get as upset with him because he's not saying it for the wrong reason. Like he is genuinely thinking like this is what she needs, and it's not in any way, but he does it with all the love and care that he
He does it with his
can.
whole chest.
He does. And I think
He
that's
does. And
one
you have to
thing.
respect that. Like you.
Exactly. It's like you were saying all of the wrong words, but you were saying them all in the right way.
All the wrong words. He says some right things,
This is
but yeah,
true.
I mean, when he tells her like you're more than your words, he texts her late at night like this book is not like he said that's the wrong thing, right? This book is not that important or whatever. And she's like, well, it's important to me. And he's like, yeah, but it's not more important than you. And so it does take him speaking as a first draft, like we just said, like it takes him a
That is
minute
such
to
a
edit
great like
that.
thing to say
Yeah.
too.
And it takes him a minute to edit his own words. And he's an editor, so he'll do that. But he has to like, but he tries to do it, right? Like he tries and he shows up for her. And
He
I think
does,
that's the thing that like so many people who've experienced depression or loss or grief or burnout or whatever, they just want someone who's going to show up for
Well, and I
them.
think part of it is like they were such a solid couple. And then when she left and she had zero, like it was like no contact from like day one. And it's been 5 years. She was not expecting to see him. So that was like a little bit traumatic for her. And he has not lost any feelings that he has for her. So he's kind of navigating like the why she left and the how she left. And he's like going through his, because I mean, that was traumatic for him in his own way that she just disappeared off the face of the earth and he didn't know if she was alive, dead, hurt, anything. And so it's like he's kind of dealing with all the trauma like resurfacing, because it's not that he has moved on, but he has been muddling through, so to speak. And so I think that like they both have things, and then when she tells him the why, like then he has to learn to deal with that too, which is a whole other like thing.
And she does acknowledge that, I'm pretty sure, right? She's like, I'm like thinking back, it's been a minute, but
Yeah, she
like where
acknowledges the
she's like,
fact
well,
that
yeah,
like
I've had
she should,
5 years and he's had 5 minutes to deal with this,
and also that it's also kind of not fair that she's had 5 years and he's had 5 minutes, because it does affect him differently, but same at the same time.
But it's still like a blow, right? But I think that's almost healing for him because he's like, oh, it wasn't me. It wasn't just the money. There was so much else going on.
But she just did not know how to deal with it.
And she didn't know how to deal with it. And she didn't know how to talk about it because
Well,
she had 5 years to process it, but she wasn't talking to anybody about it. She didn't even tell her agent. Like she didn't tell anybody but her therapist, and so she just was like, well, it's better if I keep it quiet. And I think that's a very
It's valid.
people give a lot of, like that advice a lot too, I think, especially like the previous generation, they're like, don't talk about it. People don't want to hear about
Well,
it. It's, you know, it's a sad, it's
well,
sad.
it's almost taboo. It's like, it's not though. It's
It's
not a
not.
taboo thing at all.
It's not.
So I have started a new thing. So we're gonna veer off to the next, and it is a basically a this or that type of thing, because I'm always curious. So, enemies to lovers or friends to lovers?
Friends to lovers.
ebook, paperback, or audio, or a mix of the three?
Oh God, like it just is this like a rapid fire thing? Because it depends.
No, it can't, it doesn't have to be rapid fire.
Okay. It depends. I think I love a good audiobook performance, you know, like I'm a teacher, an English teacher, but I also coach speech, like so I'm like theater performing arts adjacent. So like I love the performance of it, you know. But audiobooks are hard for me because I have kids and they talk to me a lot. And so it's a little bit easier to have a Kindle because like an e-reader because like I don't lose my page.
Oh yeah, 'cause
It, you
like
know what
if
I
like
mean? Like
somebody's talking to you and the audiobook is still going and then you have to figure out like where
you have
you
to figure out
lost
where you
focus.
were. Yeah. So I can do audiobook like in my car when I'm alone. I do mostly e-reader. But I do, man, like I'm an English per major person, right? Like I love pages. I love the paper. I love the smell, the
Oh, I love
tactile, like
all
the
those things, but a
experience.
cracked
Yeah.
spine stresses me out now, so I have lots of
Yeah,
trophies.
I have lots of trophies. Yeah.
So, audio, are you a 1.0 or faster?
I think that depends on the narrator.
Okay, that is fair.
Usually I'm a 1.0, but sometimes I'm like, okay, we
Oh,
gotta pick
see,
this up
you're
a
one of
little
those
bit. Yeah. But
crazies.
I am not like a, I can't go over 1.5 is like my
Oh,
limit.
really? See, 1.7 is like my standard.
Yeah.
I like
I
a
know
fast
that
one.
if you train yourself to hear it faster, it's, you have to like work up to it from what I've heard. But because I'm a performance girly, I want to hear all the nuance in their vocal variety and their, you know, like I have a hard time doing that when it's sped up.
So full cast, the Kennedy Ryan reel. I have actually not listened to it, but Becky raves about it and says how good
Ooh.
that one is. But also West of Wicked, it's by Nikki St. Crown. It's book one in the trilogy. It is amazing. It
Okay.
has like seven or eight narrators. I don't even know, but
Oh,
it's
that's
really good.
cool.
But it is a trilogy, and book two and three have like don't have release dates yet, and I don't know when they're coming out. So if a
That's all right.
cliffy
I can
angers
wait.
you, don't start it
Nah.
now.
I love it. Stress me out.
See, I get very ragey with a cliffy, but I reviewed it for the blog and like the podcast, and I was like, oh, it's so good, but I don't know when the next one's coming.
It's coming.
Okay, are you a mood reader or TBR?
I have to be a little bit of both because I'm asked to like blurb and you know, so like I do have like a schedule, but other than that, no, my Kindle's just like full of stuff that I'm gonna get to when I feel like
See,
it.
I'm a chaos gremlin, so I get it.
Yeah. I prefer the chaos, but when someone's like, I need a blurb by, you know, July 20th, and I'm like, okay, I gotta read this now then. Time's a ticking.
All right, coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Beach or pool?
Pool.
See, I like a pool at the ocean where you get the best of both worlds because you can
That would be
hear it
great.
and smell it,
Yes.
but you're not in the gross sand
I
or
don't,
the
yeah, I
dirty
don't want to be
water.
in the sand. I don't want to be in the water, but I want to have the beach vibes. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I
But
like a pool
a clean pool.
I like the pool at the ocean.
You and I are the same there. Yeah.
cold weather or hot weather?
Oh.
I mean, you're Chicago, so
I'm
you have
Chicago.
to
I
be
get
the both.
both, like extreme both. I'm gonna say cold because I'm an inside person, and when it's cold out,
You have to
it's
stay
a good
inside.
excuse to be inside. And it's dark, you know, it gets dark earlier, and I'm like, this is my life. I need to just like my bedtime is 6 p.m. in the winter. It's great.
My.
It's not really, but I would like it to be.
Right, and that is all I got. But thank you so much for joining me on this author spotlight. I have appreciated your time.
No, thanks for having me. It was fun.
And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.